friends. Pastor Jim here with today's Light of the Word radio program, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We invite you to stay for a special program today, as again this week we have Dusty Devers who will be speaking. Dusty is a pastor in Oklahoma. This message that you are hearing was delivered at a Abolish Abortion conference in Topeka, Kansas. Brother Dusty is going to open up the gospel to us and reveal the great mercy and love that God has for us in his gospel. So now part one of a two-part message. Let's listen to Dusty.
You will hear difficult things today, not just from this message, but throughout. And I aim to preach the truth boldly and firmly, but also to minister the grace of God freely and generously. So if you have experienced the pain of abortion, please know that we love you and want to care for you with the full grace of God offered through the cross of Jesus Christ. Between January 22nd, 1973, with the Supreme Court's opinion on Roe v. Wade, until today, over 49 years later, Americans have exterminated over 10 times the number of people Hitler did, because we saw a class of people, the preborn children, unfit to live. Whereas Hitler would transport the Jews by train to the gas chambers and concentration camps, far away from the German people to avoid public outrage, we civilized Americans put the murder mills in shopping centers next to sandwich shops and cell phone repair stores and down the street from churches, because apparently the violent killing of that clump of cells in the temple of death is nearly as culturally acceptable as buying groceries, picking up a burger, or gathering for worship. While the Germans used carbon monoxide and guns, we use cutting tools, flesh-eating poison, and vacuums over 29 times more powerful than a Dyson for our final solution to the preborn problem. Francis Schaeffer said, every abortion clinic should have a sign in front of it saying, open by permission of the church. Friends, there are over 3,000 reasons every day. And since 1973, over 49 or 65 million reasons why our nation deserves judgment. Now, why talk like this? The Apostle Paul warns us, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Ephesians 5:11. In Proverbs 18:21 through Solomon, God tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. If Christians are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we must speak the truth about what abortion is with relentless clarity. We destroy arguments, Paul says, not by yielding the ground of clear truth, because life is in the power of truth-speaking tongues. Start with definitions. Abortion. Abortion is the unjustified, premeditated killing of a preborn human being. It's also known as murder. We have allowed legal child murder on demand for 49 years because we call it something other than murder. And many of us have turned an indifferent heart away from the slaughter of the most helpless among us. Abolish. Abolish means to formally and officially end or outlaw a system or practice or institution. Abolitionism. The doctrine, abolitionism is the doctrine that answers the question, how does the bride of Christ address and combat great evil in our society? And the abolitionist answer is, cease to do evil immediately, without exception or compromise. How about abortion abolitionism? Well, abortion abolitionism answers the question, how does the Bride of Christ address and combat the great evil of unjustified, premeditated killing or murder of preborn human beings in our society? The abolitionist answer is officially cease murdering the preborn without exception or compromise. Now, the five tenets of abortion abolition is what I've been asked to speak on. And we have an acronym for them. Helpful or not, it's called GATES. And that acronym, GATES, stands for this: Gospel-Centered, Aligned Providentially, Through the Church, Engaged Biblically, and Sought Immediately Without Exception or Compromise. So let's work through those five now. Number one, gospel-centered, as opposed to moralistic, or relativistic for that matter. Abortion abolitionism confronts the sin of the slaughter of the preborn. The only solution that God has provided this world and rebellious sinners for their rescue from the just wrath of God is the gospel. That's the only solution God has provided. So number one, to be gospel-centered in your conflict with the culture of death, you must make it your highest aim to glorify God by proclaiming the gospel. You can't say you're gospel-centered unless you actually proclaim it. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? It should be. Many churches are not wielding the weapon of the word through the gospel, but instead shirking that responsibility and preaching some other message in this field. If you are a Christian in here today, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did God save me and leave me on this planet instead of plucking me out whenever I was born again? He could have just extracted you from this world into the unseen realm with Him. Your brother, the Apostle Peter, says this about you, saints. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, why did He choose you and make you a kingdom of priests and a set-apart nation for His holy possession? The answer, He goes on, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is about Him. He kept you here because it's about Him and not about you. Listen, chosen saints, kingly priests, God's holy possession made righteous by Christ alone. Your heavenly Father and Jesus, the overseer and owner of your souls, left you on this earth and makes your heart pump blood and your eyes see other people and your ears hear of the darkness of sin and the high praise of God, so that as kings and priests, you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You and I were in darkness, dead in sin and trespasses, and following the prince of the power of the air, and were by nature ourselves children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, in His great mercy, saved you by His grace, and He brought you into His marvelous light. The gospel is not one way of dealing with man's problem. It's the only way, the only message that will succeed against the culture of death that has taken root in our society. Abortion is the very antithesis of Christianity. Whereas Christ said, "My life for yours," and bids His followers to similarly lay down their lives, abortion says, "Your life for mine." Jesus interposed his precious blood between us and the Father. The gospel, the good news of Jesus laying down his life in the place of sinners, is God's once and for all answer to all sin. Our first and most important message to abortion-minded mothers and post-abortive mothers, abusive and spineless boyfriends or husbands, abortion mill employees, apathetic politicians, and apathetic Christians is repent and believe on the gospel. And you too can be saved. You can be saved like me, completely by the grace of God. You must not leave the gospel out of the discussion. The gospel is the discussion. Number two, to be gospel-centered, your strategy must be a worship that is acceptable to God. Your strategy to confront the culture of death must be a strategy that is an acceptable worship to God. God will hold you accountable for every word you say and every act of worship that you give to Him, whether it's strange fire or acceptable worship. Just earlier in the text, in 1 Peter 2, in verse 5, Peter told us that we are to offer to God as His holy priesthood spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as kings and priests, you, brothers and sisters, are to establish the allegiance and worship of our King and God here on this earth. And God gave you His very Spirit and power, the gospel, so that you would declare the miraculous salvation of His elect. And He gave you His Word to wield by His Spirit's aid to establish His world according to His Word. And He brought you out into His beloved warrior bride, the church, to storm the gates of hell and bind and loose on earth what is bound and loose in heaven. So listen, any strategy to rescue the preborn must be worthy of and in alignment with the everlasting dominion of Christ and His kingdom. It must be a strategy that endures from generation to generation as acceptable worship. Daniel 4. No strategy that our King wouldn't approve of Himself or implement Himself is worthy of your lives. Do not waste your life. And don't waste it on some sub-Christian worldly strategy to regulate when, where, why, or how you can murder one of our preborn neighbors. So with these five tenets of abolitionism, abortion abolitionism, we're not trying to set up a better worldly kingdom. Or legislators who form a little better worldly strategies. We're not trying to get better earthly government. Our labor as chosen holy priests and kings has to do with the dominion of Christ. Our priesthood has to do with establishing acceptable worship to God. Have you thought about that? Even those of you who have been in the fight for a long time, our strategy has to be about setting up a world in our own homes, our own hearts, in our own homes, in our churches and beyond, out in the civil sphere, you know, setting up a world where acceptable worship to God is offered. Number three, to be gospel-centered, you must not steal God's glory by boasting in yourself. The Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth that Jesus Christ sent him and commanded him to preach the gospel in such a way. He commanded Paul to preach the gospel in such a way that people would not be awed by the power of his oratory, but the power of the cross. Christ sent me, Paul said, to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. He says the gospel is the power of God here and in Romans 1:16. You know this verse. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. God put all of his power, his saving power, in the gospel. So why would you look elsewhere? Where's the power to change culture? Where's the power to end child sacrifice? Where is the power to convict hardened legislators? Where is the power to change those mothers' minds when they're walking into the mill? It's in the gospel. We preach Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, so that no human may boast in the presence of God. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The message of Christ is the power, and you must not doubt that power at any point if in your efforts it looks like someone else isn't receiving it. Do not holster the weapon that God has given you because you doubt it. Is the message of Christ crucified the main weapon that you use in this fight against abortion? Or do you take up the weapons of this world? Is your sling fit with the smooth stone of the gospel, or are you weighed down with Saul's armor? As a priestly king representing Christ, you are not allowed to doubt the power of the cross of Christ to turn this world upside down. Acts 17:6. And to rid it of rebellion as far as the curse is found. Do you doubt the power of Christ to rid this world of the curse, no matter where it's found? Christ does not doubt it. Would you? You are not allowed to preach some other message, to wage warfare in some other way. And if you do, it is because you don't trust the power of God to do the will of God by the gospel of God. You and I must cling to the cross of Christ to bring about the crown of Christ in this world. That was a long one, but the gospel is the power of God for salvation. We need to dwell on that. Number two, align providentially, not pragmatic. Abortion abolitionists confront the culture of death while relying on the providence of God, not worldly wisdom and the carnal weapons of men. Question 14 of the Baptist Catechism asks this: what are God's works of providence? And it answers, God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all of their actions. Preserving and governing all His creatures and all of their actions based on His decreed will from before the foundation of the world. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His holy will, whereby He has... I forgot the catechism question. My kids would rebuke me for this. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby He has foreordained... Help me. Whatsoever comes to pass. That's right. Thank you, guys. Would you doubt the decrees of God before the foundation of the world? Well, that's what you do if you doubt His providential ordering of His world in His governing and preserving. How does He govern and preserve? According to the counsel of His will. We must not doubt it. We must not align ourselves with some other strategy that's sub or below, which really usurps and confronts the decrees of God in the providence of God to carry about His will. The Second London Baptist Confession affirms, God, the good creator of all things, in his infinite power and wisdom, does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, to the end for which they were created, according to his infallible knowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. You don't get those things if you align pragmatically. You only get all of that glory if you align yourself with God's providence. In 2 Samuel 10, we're told of the Ammonite and Syrian armies coming up against King David. And Joab, the commander of David's army, gives advice to the soldiers that you and I must heed. 2 Samuel 10, 12. He says, "Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God. And may Yahweh do what seems good to him." To align providentially, you must first be of good courage. Why? Because, of course, you've entrusted yourself to the sovereign ruler of all, who establishes the dominion of Christ by his own zealous pleasure. Of course you would be of good courage. God has decreed it, he has kept it, and he has done it because of the zeal of his pleasure. Don't you want to have a zealous pleasure about your life? Align yourself and be of good courage. Second, to align providentially, you must be courageous for our people. 1 Chronicles 18:13 says, "Use our strength for our people and the cities of God." Use your strength, saints. Use the strength that God has graciously given you to rescue those being led to death and hold back those being taken to slaughter. And charge your leaders not to write iniquitous decrees any longer. Be courageous for our people. Not only the saints, they need to see your zealous courage in the pleasure of God that you work from, but also those who are being led to slaughter need you to be courageous for them. And the future generations, your children, need to see you courageous in the fight. Men, if you aren't courageous and zealous in this fight, and it's a dour labor for you, if you're always complaining about having to do the work of someone else, you need to repent. God has brought you into this warfare for his zealous pleasure. For whose glory are you working? Third, to align yourself providentially, you must let God do what seems good to him. 2 Samuel 10:12. Do you trust the Lord like this? Do you trust God to tear down evil in this world according to his timing, his means, and his purposes? Do you trust God to do what seems good to him? You just obey. Is that how you trust him? Your duty is obedience to God's revealed will. He commands that you and I, as his ambassadors, establish the justice of his rule and eradicate injustice protected by law. Proverbs 17, 15, and 18, 5. God declares that he begins life at conception or fertilization. In the sixth commandment, God commands, "You shall not murder." No creature, whether governing authority or ambassador of Christ, may tamper with God's word on these matters. Since Roe, over the past 49 years, listen, the prevailing political wisdom, which is worldly, is that compromise is the key to success. At root, pragmatism is the rot of submitting to some other authority than God, some other means God has not commanded or approved. It's easy to concoct strategies to limit abortion or to work within the manufactured bounds of the Supreme Court's subversive authority. That's so easy. However, there are over 65 million plus reasons to show that this strategy of appeasement is an assault against the preborn and a usurpation of God's glory. The pride, arrogance, and blasphemy of His enemies, of God's enemies, does not cause Him any uneasiness. It should not cause you any as well. Even if it seems that Christianity is in real danger of being destroyed from the earth, that would not justify our attempt to assist God by worldly political methods, carnal devices, or any means that God has not appointed. This is a battle not against flesh and blood. So do not use flesh and blood weapons for warfare. Do not use puny, pragmatic worldliness to engage a spiritual enemy. We must fight the Lord's battles with the spiritual weapons which He has put into our hands and leave the success to Him. Commit yourself to do that which God has demanded regardless of the consequences. John Quincy Adams, an abolitionist, said, "Duty is ours. Results belong to God." A.W. Pink says this, "All the ingenuity of man cannot and will not extend the gospel one inch beyond the limits which our sovereign God has assigned. Rather, we must make open statements of the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians 4:2. Our God is in the heavens. And so what does He do? Whatever He pleases. Why does God tell us that He's in the heavens? It's obvious. Because He rules over all. And when He rules over all, He does whatever He pleases from His good pleasure. Does your service to God lift itself in great joy? Or is it a drudgery to serve the God who is doing all things, even enlivening you because of His good pleasure? That's why He elected you, according to the counsel of His will, for His own purposes and His good pleasure. Are you thinking, well, what will work? Or are you thinking, what does Christ command? Are you aligning with pragmatism where you will get the glory, or providence where God gets the glory?
Well, friends, that is the question. Whose glory are we seeking? Are we seeking after God's glory, that He be made much of, that He be known, that He be honored? Or are we seeking after people to know who we are in everything that we do, including even this issue of abortion, even the issue of the Value Them Both Amendment that's coming up in Kansas? We must seek God's glory, not man. And God's glory says that we must follow His word to glorify Him. And His word says that there is no murder that is acceptable. None. Friends, if you need to contact us or if you would like to give to this ministry, you can do that by calling 1-800-416-9352. You can find us at lightoftheword.radio.com or Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. That is through lightoftheword.radio.com, or you can contact us through the mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.